You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange on JPR. I'm Mike Green. To kill or not to kill? That is the question. If you're unfamiliar with the fight over the barred owl, or if you're like me and lack awareness of what a barred owl is, class is about to convene, so listen closely. My guest is Tom Wheeler, Executive Director of the Environmental Protection Information Center, or EPIC. Welcome, Tom.
Thank you for having me on.
Well, let's start at the beginning. I have so many questions. First, what is a barred owl, and what should we know about it?
A barred owl is a fairly large owl that is native to eastern North America. And because of Euro-Canadian settlement of the Great Plains, the barred owl was able to make its way to the West Coast and needed the kind of forested environment that human modification of the environment provided. And since coming to the West Coast, it has found that it really enjoys this place too. And its range has expanded, as has its population. So it came from across northern Canada and is now moving down the West Coast.
So what you're telling me is it did precisely what the Europeans did.
Yes, it was Euro-Canadian settlement. So it was restriction of burning of the Great Plains and the planting of trees in Canada allowed for this range expansion to occur.
When you say it's a large owl, can you give me a sense of what that means?
Ooh, let's see if I can compare it to something. I would say it is bigger than a loaf of bread, bigger than a football, but not terribly larger. It's about the size of a northern spotted owl for folks who may be familiar, but slightly larger than the northern spotted owl.
Okay, so you're saying that they migrated across the country. Now, are they still on the East Coast, or are they all over the country, or where are they concentrated?
At the moment, they're all over the country. They're on the East Coast. They're on the West Coast. It is a thriving owl species in both the East Coast and West Coast, and it is not under any risk for extinction, unlike its cousin, the northern spotted owl, and the California spotted owl.
So there's a family fight.
Yes, these are all in the Strix family, or genus, excuse me.
So talk about the plan to manage the barred owl population. You want to shoot them, right?
Well, I hopefully won't have to shoot them myself, but I would if I had to. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is proposing a barred owl management strategy. Under this strategy, landowners, including the federal government, have the ability to have kind of an easier permitting framework to do barred owl removal. And this barred owl removal is to benefit the northern spotted owl, because where both coexist, the barred owl outcompetes the northern spotted owl and is forcing the northern spotted owl to extinction. So in areas that are of prime importance to the northern spotted owl, that have good, high-quality northern spotted owl habitat, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is prioritizing barred owl removal. Again, this is a voluntary program, so its success is going to depend on whether or not federal agencies, state agencies, private large landowners, and small forest landowners adopt barred owl removal as a management strategy, if they incorporate it into their normal management of forest lands. If they do, that is great news for the northern spotted owl. It means that it will not go extinct. If they don't, if we continue to allow unrestricted barred owl expansion of both their population and range, it's going to mean the extinction of the northern spotted owl and likely the extinction of the California spotted owl as well.
So the spotted owls are in trouble because the barred owls are what? They're bigger, they're faster, they're stronger?
Yeah, a little bit of all of that, yes. So the barred owl is more of a generalist, both in habitat and in diet. It's a little bit bigger, it's a little bit faster, it's a little bit stronger, and it outcompetes the northern spotted owl, and it can exist in habitats where the northern spotted owl cannot. And so it is rapidly expanding in West Coast forests because it can be in more urbanized environments as well as the same sort of habitats that northern spotted owls use. Where barred owls exist and northern spotted owls exist, the barred owls kind of bullied the spotted owls out of their territory. And spotted owls no longer will reproduce. They will become what we call floaters. They'll be silent on the landscape. They will continue to exist, but they won't reproduce. That's obviously a problem for a species that's already listed under the Federal Endangered Species Act.
So they're not physically fighting. It's just that the barred owl comes in and moves the spotted owl off its territory, puts it on some reservation somewhere, and doesn't care what happens to it.
They will physically bully spotted owls. It is direct competition with the northern spotted owl.
Okay, so what happened to natural selection?
Well, what happened to natural selection? This is a new and novel forest predator. You know, the forests of the West Coast did not co-evolve with the barred owl, and it doesn't fill the same ecological niche as the northern spotted owl. And that's really important. And if we kind of zoom out, a lot of this discussion has been framed as a fight between two owls. But really, the barred owl is having larger impacts to West Coast forest environments. It's that we can understand those impacts perhaps most easily through the northern spotted owl because it is such a well-studied species. What we do know about barred owls is that because they are more generalist in diet and in habitat, they can't fill the same sort of role as the northern spotted owl. They're predating on wildlife on the West Coast that is both common and rare or endangered. And scientists fear that this can have a destabilizing effect on West Coast forest ecosystems by introducing this new voracious predator.
Let me make sure I understand what you're saying. So the barred owl, not only is it a bully, but it's endangering the spotted owl, which has ecological benefits to this ecosystem. And the barred owl can basically live anywhere, whereas the spotted owl has very specific areas where it lives and it thrives. And if the barred owl is allowed to continue to bully the spotted owl will eventually go extinct. And not only that, but the barred owl will disrupt the ecosystem and cause damage to it.
Absolutely. And when we're talking about species extinction for the northern spotted owl, I think it's important to emphasize that it's not some distant, far-off thing. This is likely going to occur within my lifetime, by 2050, if we do not check the expansion of barred owls. We are seeing persistent and steepening decline of northern spotted owl populations across the West Coast. And we can't have enough habitat to get out of this problem. Barred owls like the same habitat as northern spotted owls. So this is no longer necessarily just an issue of loggers taking spotted owl habitat. It's both long-term ramifications from habitat modification from logging in the Pacific Northwest and also barred owl invasion.
My guest is Tom Wheeler, Executive Director of the Environmental Protection Information Center, or EPIC. So what are the pros and cons to shooting the barred owl? Are there alternative options?
Alternative options have been studied, but they aren't feasible. If we were to try to capture barred owls, then we have a problem of thousands of barred owls on our hand with no place to go. So other options have been investigated. None have been found to be viable. I don't think anybody really takes pleasure out of this idea of having to remove barred owls, but it appears to be necessary to stop the extinction of the northern spotted owl and to benefit West Coast forest ecosystems.
Okay, so this removal process of target shooting the barred owl, how many of them do you have to shoot?
Well, you have to knock down populations to the extent that they aren't competing with spotted owls in a localized area.
Come on, Tom, give me a number.
It's hard to say. So opponents of barred owl removal are using what I think are inflated numbers, which which look at, you know, if the program was done across the entire range at the max number of owls, and they are producing numbers that are astronomical, 450,000 owls. I don't think that that is a reasonable estimate of what was actually going to occur. What we've found in previous barred owl experiments or barred owl removal experiments is that when you knock down the population, then you just kind of have to do cleanup work every once in a while. So, you know, you get an area to a point where there aren't really a lot of barred owls, then you just need to start going back every couple of years and taking out new barred owls that might be migrating into this area. So, and again, the barred owl management strategy isn't contemplating doing barred owl removal across the entire West Coast. What it's looking at is trying to figure out what areas are highest priority for the northern spotted owl and prioritizing removal in those areas.
I got it. So you pick a spot, a region where you say, okay, the spotted owls are here. We need to protect them. And so we're gonna target shoot the barred owls. People are throwing out numbers. So where are they getting these numbers?
There came those numbers by taking estimates within the barred owl management strategy and kind of coming up with worst case scenarios.
Okay. So they're talking about 400,000 over 30 years. What is that, 13,000 plus per year? What are you going to do with all that bird meat?
Well, barred owls are a useful way to understand what's going on in forest ecosystems. So some of the carcasses are going to be returned for scientific purposes. We can study things like whether or not anticoagulant rodenticides are impacting the forest ecosystem by looking at whether or not we have these pesticides within barred owls. So some are going to be returned for science. Others are just going to be disposed of. I don't think anybody is proposing to eat barred owl meat.
So we're talking about tens of thousands of barred owls over the course of how long?
Over the course of the life of the permit, so 30 years.
So then it's hundreds of thousands.
Potentially the high-end estimate used by animal rights organizations in opposition to this is 450,000.
What if this doesn't work? What do you do if it doesn't work?
I think that we have opportunities to examine data, and if it's not working in the future, we are not compelled to do it. Again, it's all voluntary. And so if in 5 years we're not seeing the demographic response in spotted owls that is anticipated, that has been produced previously in other research experiments, there's an opportunity to go back and re-examine whether or not this is viable. But everything that we have, all the data points that we have at this moment, suggest that this is necessary.
I got you. I'm having a tough time imagining there's a thousand hunters out there having target practice at barred owls on a daily basis. I don't know how you do it.
So Green Diamond Resource Company, which has land here where I live in Northern California, has an active barred owl management program. And as I understand it, it's two biologists with an ATV and some shotguns, and they go out into the forest and they play sounds that will attract the barred owl. The barred owl will come down and investigate. They will make a positive identification that it is a barred owl. And at that point, they will kill the barred owl quickly and humanely using the shotgun. So two people are able to control barred owls on hundreds of thousands of acres of Green Diamond property. Uh-oh. So it seems like it is a cost-effective way of doing what is ultimately a pretty difficult task.
That is amazing. Unfortunately, we've run out of time. Tom Wheeler is the Executive Director of the Environmental Protection Information Center. Thanks for shedding light on the owl fight, Tom. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm Mike Green, and you're listening to the Jefferson Exchange on JPR. Well, that's it for today's JX segments. JeffExchange.org is our website where you can find these conversations and more, or subscribe to our shows wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Mike Green. Natalie Golay is our senior producer, and Andrew Crackle is engineering our show. Thanks for joining us, and have a nice day.